Joining us in the studio now is Chris Zeke Hand.
Howdy, Chris.
There's been a debate. It's been an internet kerfuffle. The comment boards, the blogs. Do you prefer Chris or do you prefer Zeke?
It depends. If I'm talking to my mother, I prefer Zeke because you always want to keep your mom happy, and she likes Zeke. Chris. You see, it's a little bit early in the morning, and then if I'm talking about art, I think people sort of know me better as a Zeke than as a Chris.
Okay, is your mother listening this morning?
She will be. I am doing the time-shifting thing that the Copyright Act would allow, and so at which point taping this for a future broadcast.
All right, so we better refer to you then as Zeke.
Okay.
So tell us a little about this exhibition that's going on at the Monument National. It's pictures of downtown Montreal, specifically the St. Catherine, St. Laurent area. Sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I was quite excited when I first got this sort of like whole press stuff and the emails, and they started bombarding me with it. It was Gabber Selassie, who is a very well-known local photographer, and somebody else whose name escapes me. And then I went there, and I was just crestfallen, depressed, annoyed. My chin hit the floor because there are just basically eight small pictures about the size of a record cover, since we're on a radio station, foot square. And the idea was that because it's at the Monument National, which is one of the more historical, it's an older theater that's been around for a while. I don't think it's the place which showed the first movie in Canada, but I think it's next door to it, and it's had all sorts of famous people go through it. And they are part of this whole Quartier des Spectacles thing that is happening, where they're tearing up the road so as to make it better for all those festivals that happen downtown. And as part of that Quartier des Spectacles thing, they decided that they were going to tear down a building that was at the corner of St. Catherine and Saint Laurent, which historically has been the red light district. If you wanted to go do anything that was against the law, that was the place to go do it. And it seems that in the 21st century, it's now no longer going to be that.
Good old Cafe Cleopatra, the Montreal Pool Room.
They're all going the way of the dodo. And so they have taken down one building already. And there was the Gabber Selassie, who his whole raison d'être is basically taking pictures of the city. And he just takes pictures. I've actually seen portraits and so on. But a lot of the stuff that he has been showing recently has been just sort of facades, street facades from the 60s and the 70s, from the 80s and so on, historical stuff where you say, oh, yeah, I remember that. Where did that go and stuff? And so the idea was that this show was going to be pictures of St. Catherine and Saint Laurent, and then the other artist whose name I really should know but don't, she had taken some pictures of the actual strippers who were in the strip club that was at the corner of Saint Laurent and St. Catherine that has now disappeared. And you figured this is a nice dovetailing of sort of like the outside, the inside, the personal and the impersonal, historical sort of stuff. And you can sort of see how, yeah, strippers from like 1970, they actually wore, I don't know, like bathing suits, and I don't think they actually got naked. They hadn't invented it yet or something like that. And then you see how the buildings looked, and you can then go back into your memory and see if you remember and so on. But then to actually show up and see eight pictures, and they're small pictures, they're not big pictures. And yeah, it was frustrating because it had such promise, and it's the sort of thing where you figure that given the amount of logos on it, somebody was going to be throwing some money into it. So I hope for the life of me that Gabber Selassie and the other artist whose name I can't remember scored a whole whack of cash for it and so on, and that just due to circumstances or I don't know, space restrictions within the Monument National, that something limited them to that much, that little amount of space and that little amount of photos.
Now these pictures that pop up every once in a while of Montreal in the old days, especially downtown Montreal in the old days. I remember the last couple of summers seeing all down University Street, right out of the Roddick Gates.
McGill Street.
Right out of the Roddick Gates, there were pictures of the downtown core that would be put up on the bus stops and just on planks and stuff like that. I didn't see that initiative this year.
Yeah, no, the pictures are up again. You just haven't turned looked left while you were right along Sherbrooke. It's there. It's the sort of thing where these are pictures this year that they have up of portraits of Montrealers and then and now. And it's all always now organized by the McCord Museum, which is the one that is just a little bit further east along Sherbrooke.
Yeah, it's just on the corner there.
However, there they got their chops busted this year because absolutely every single person in the picture, both from the old days and contemporary, is white.
Okay.
And they suddenly said, "Ooh, whoops, we forgot about all the other people."
Well, it's...
And no, it was a major thing that was a sort of faux pas on their part, and they sort of said, sorry, and...
Yep. It might be a faux pas, but if that's the makeup of the city at that time...
No. At the time, they do have a little bit of historical sort of thing. Okay, there were not that many people of color, and it really wasn't that heterogeneous back then, but they actually then have on the other side of them pictures of Montrealers today. And so today, the city is a little bit more heterogeneous, a little bit more diverse. And so now it's there. It's the sort of thing I don't like. You're just getting me to talking about like art that I don't like. We should talk about something that I do like.
Just getting you going, Chris.
You're doing a very good job.
Yeah.
It's there. Nowadays, it is where the city is much more diverse, and it is the sort of thing somebody should have said, hey.
Simple question. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between the pictures of downtown Montreal that are being exhibited right now at the Monument National and a picture of downtown Montreal that Mir, you would take?
Gaber Selassie has a name as a photographer that is slightly better well-known within Montreal and Quebec than you or me. And so that's one difference. Second of all...
I'm talking in terms of the picture. You see the picture.
I'm going step by step. It's with art. It is like the name is a whole whack of stuff on it. It's the sort of thing where, like, I could have written 47 years ago our forefathers founded this country, but my name isn't Abraham Lincoln. And so at which point it's not going to really impress anybody.
But it's the exact same speech.
Exactly. And if you take the exact same picture, then at which point you got to have the name. And Abraham Lincoln.
I totally understand that. Do you think that's a good thing?
It depends. It is depending on what you're looking at. With the historical stuff, Gaber Selassie stuff, it's also that I don't think you were old enough to have actually been around when he was taking the pictures. No slight intended. It is always enjoyable to be young, but
Did he have one of those cameras where he puts the hood over his head and he holds up the flash?
Close. He had one of the first sort of portable cameras, which is sort of, I think, the size of...
Little Kodak Brownie.
No. He had a fancier thing. He is a photographer. So I would think a large chunk of thing, maybe about a foot and a half.
Okay, so what's the difference between the pictures that he took and the pictures that someone like me or you would take?
And there also it would be the sort of thing where because he has been taking the pictures for a very long time, as far as getting his eye in terms of being able to frame the picture and make it so that it is nicely composed and so on, taking the comparison back to writing, in terms of, I can slap a whole whack of words on a page, but it's your guess is as good as mine if they're going to make a sentence. And at which point, with a lot of practice, you get better and better at your craft. And so he has had a serious amount of practice at it. That all being said, given that it is capturing a moment, if he's there at the wrong moment and you're there at the right moment, then obviously yours has a chance of being better than his. And if you put the two pictures up without any... other background information, then at which point they get viewed just as pictures. However, they're given that they're being tossed out as art, there is that background information that does have to go along. And so at which point, to me, it is one of the unfortunate things about art is that there is this whole background information and so on. And in certain cases, it's like with Warhol, it can be to its detriment because anything that Andy Warhol slaps in, or somebody now slaps Andy Warhol's name on, at which point they can sell for thousands upon millions of gazillions of dollars, and at which point somebody else like you or me could come up with the same thing and we wouldn't make that much money. But I think I've now foamed at the mouth.
No. Mm-hmm. But just putting aside, dreams of financial remuneration for art aside, just for one second, and thinking about the pictures themselves and how they represent downtown Montreal, this is a worthwhile exhibition to check and check out. And it's not just like seeing somebody's pictures on vacation in Montreal.
At the Monument National, there are so few of them. It is basically four pictures of the corner of Saint-Laurent and Saint-Catherine from about 1972 or so. And there it was, I was hoping for a much broader selection of pictures, and from a couple of different, like from the 70s, from the 80s, and so on, right, from different views. And there, so yes, it's,
well, there's a great idea, actually. I mean, we grew up with Friends people and stuff like that, and we've got, you know, thousands of photos of downtown Montreal in the day, whether it be, you know, celebrating in front of some bar, you know, on Crescent Street, some watering hole, you know, a picture with Nick Offnemar at the bar or something like that. Or wouldn't it be a great idea if somebody could get all these pictures together and put...
There are people who are doing that. I don't know if you're aware of the... blog, the website Spacing Montreal.
Okay.
And very regularly, I haven't quite been able to figure out what the regular pattern is, but they will have Montreal then and now pictures. And there it's absolutely phenomenal because they will go to the picture from 1942 or 1887, and they will then find the exact spot where it was taken, the same sort of depth of field, and they will recreate it now.
And you can see how the facades have changed.
Yeah, or how, in certain cases, how they haven't. And that's the ones that fascinate me, where they haven't changed. And you suddenly say, well, and that's 120 years ago. Something must have changed. And the only thing you can say is, okay, that one has a gray sky, and it's in black and white, and that's why the sky is gray. And the contemporary one has a blue sky because it's color.
What is that website?
Spacing Montreal. Which is spacingmontreal.com. It's basically, there's this magazine called Spacing, which deals with urban issues, and it's out of Toronto. And then they decided, hey, we got to get hip, we got to get with it, we can do a blog. And so they started Spacing Toronto, and then suddenly the people in Montreal said, hey, what about us? And so now there's Spacing Montreal.
That sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it is a fun read. It takes about 30 seconds every day.
Now, we're a little bit short on time here.
Sorry that I've been foaming at the mouth.
No, it's good. It's good. It's quite exciting. Tell us a little bit about the Will Alsop lecture and the ATSA launch Thursday night.
Yeah, that was last night. And actually, ATSA, Action Terroriste Socialement Acceptable, can't tell you about because I missed it. The Will Alsop lecture was so much fun, so entertaining, and so enjoyable that we just said, nah, we're not going to make it up there. And we sort of sat riveted. Will Alsop for...
Never heard of the guy.
Okay.
Who is he?
He's what is known as a starchitect. He is, and it was amazing. He's an architect who has...
Architect to the stars?
No. Sort of like the equivalent of a vedette, but he builds buildings. And
so he's a star architect.
Exactly, starchitect.
Wow.
And no, it was hilarious because architects, you think of sort of like doctors and lawyers and stuff like that. They have a profession and they wear suits and they wear ties and they're responsible. They have children. They get them to school. And I saw these like 40-year-old architects just fawning over Will Alsop like he was, I don't know, Jean Leloup or Mitsu or Paris Hilton. It was hilarious to say because you'd figure, okay, when I'm 16, okay, I can act like a groupie. When I'm 45 or 50, it must take something serious to be groupie-like, and at which point they were acting like groupies and so on. But no, he makes some... He's most famous locally for the building that he did for the Ontario College of Art and Design, which is in Toronto, and this whole spacing, urban stuff, and planning and so on. And it's basically this big building where they made an addition, and it sort of like is almost suspended in midair on what looks to be sort of like pixie sticks. And there are these tiny things, and they got polka dots, and they have purple splotches and red splotches, and it's just brightly colored and everything like that. And it's a sort of thing where most of his buildings are constructed in such a way that you sort of say, I can't believe they can make a building that can do that. But there have been sort of advances in technology to the point that you can almost get something to levitate, or at least look like it is levitating. And if you're, if you can make a building levitate, then you can be a starchitect. And he was going on about his whole process of designing buildings, how he comes up with the ideas. And there, it was sort of entertaining because it is sort of like going through your great uncle sort of scrapbook with your great uncle sort of then saying, oh yeah, that's where that happened there. And it was a very nice play of this caused that to happen, that caused this to happen, then with a little bit of anecdotes about, okay, this is my client, who is obviously the person who's got the lots and lots of money, because if you're going to be building buildings, it is the sort of thing, most of the time you do have a fair bit of scratch at your disposal. And then getting sort of like the anecdotes about his interplay with the with the clients, and yes, endlessly entertaining. I've heard theories as well that it is available on the internet, because at the beginning they made mention that they were streaming it live over the internet, and somebody mentioned podcasts, which is that whole time shifting thing that you can do on the internet. And so once I get out of here, I'm going to go see if I can go see it a second time.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It was lots of fun. Unfortunately, I will now have to just go back and see the ATSA stuff later and avoid the, or having missed the wine and the finger food.
Okay, so Will Alsop then is a Starkitect. Is he going to be? Is he doing any projects currently in Montreal?
No. There, he's doing a couple. He's doing one in Toronto, Kensington Market. He's got some ideas on how they should change that. He is place drop that he's going to Dubai on Tuesday. Also place drop that he'd been in Marseille last weekend, and so he's jet setting all over the place. The thing that he was most impressed with, was that because he's actually going to Toronto, I think, today to go talk there. He does the sort of hop, 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 hop. But there had been some students from some architecture school in Detroit who had trucked all the way up from Detroit to Montreal to hear him talk. And he was sort of like, wow, that's like a 10-hour drive. You guys must be serious, which probably added to this whole sort of like myth of the Starkitect and made the groupies that much more impressed, although the 18-year-olds held themselves way in better check and control, and we're much more as a group just better behaved than the 45-year-old architects who are groupies.
Interesting. I'll tell you, once you go to Dubai, though, sometimes you never come back once you get their architecture money and their contracting money.
It's there.
Will we ever see him again?
I assume so, because although he made some comments about having smoked drugs in the day and being a smoker and a drinker, I do think when he crosses the border, he has his bags that are completely clean and antiseptic so that he doesn't get into any trouble. And then it is because he has multiple projects going around, it's the Dubai thing is just not going to keep him busy enough so that he has to go elsewhere.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So Will Alsop, never heard of him.
That's okay.
He's redoing Kensington Market, and he has a rock star like following.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Interesting. Now the ATSA, that sounds very interesting. Yeah. You didn't make their launch yesterday, but they do have another one coming up.
No, they have this project called Change, and they are ATSA, not ATSA. It's ATSA. You pronounce it. It is a pronounceable acronym, which is Action Terroriste Socialement Acceptable. For them, I can come up with my attempt at the proper French pronunciation, which is terrorist action that is socially acceptable. And they're the ones who come up and under the guise of art, and they then make things that make you think. And it's the sort of thing where for a while they had this bombed out SUV that they would load onto the back of a trailer, and they would then plop down someplace and then hand out leaflets that explained how much gas, oil the SUVs used. And they had some videos inside this bombed-out SUV, so it made it a little bit high-tech and edgy and cool to look at and so on. But it's basically, I've never seen a bombed-out SUV, and it was the sort of thing where I do think it's sort of like what you'd run into if you were in Afghanistan or something like that. And it was, it was effective. They had then tweaked it a little bit so as to then, besides giving out leaflets about how bad the SUVs were in terms of the environment, they then gave out people fake tickets that they could then put onto other people's SUVs, and they got a couple of people angry about that. They also have every November, so they do this whole Feed the Homeless Marathon down in Place Emily Gamelin, which is at the Berry Metro Station. And it's sort of this big happening festival of homelessness, and it is sort of trying to raise the awareness. So they use these things calling it art gets them headlines in a different section of the paper, because it is the sort of thing that they will, just because they're the only ones that I know that are doing it. The art section, the entertainment section of your local newspaper or TV station says, whoa, this is something new. And so then they place it whereas normally social activism and so on goes into the news section, where it gets buried in like the 7th page or the 15th minute of the broadcast or something like that. Change is their new one, and like everything it is, they're trying to change stuff. I'm not entirely certain what change they are evoking, but my guess it is probably for a good cause and probably very well done. This one that I'm most impressed with is the fact that they've actually gotten ads on bus shelters for it. And it's the first time I think I've ever seen an ad for anything other than a museum show.
Oh, don't underestimate the marketing companies, Mr. Hand.
They're the CBS. It's the sort of thing where you had the
But the marketing companies would advertise in the bottom of the toilet and the urinal.
But
if the study showed that that was going to catch the eye.
But it is the sort of thing. But as far as an art exhibit, it's the sort of thing I've seen the museums advertise on the bus shelters. I have never seen a local show, something that is smaller, advertised on the bus shelters. And then it is also the sort of thing where there was this Mouvement Art Public, which is MAP, where they had four, and I still think they do have, depending on which bus shelter you're looking at, some relatively well-done, well-known photographers, and they just put it up saying, we got to get some art into the public space and so on. And so this guy, Emmanuel Bujold, pushed for 3 years to finally convince CBS to say, okay, we will put up some art. And then I think because he was such a groundbreaker and the thin edge of the wedge, that then ATSA came along and said, hey, Emmanuel, how'd you pull that off? Because there are ads for their art exhibit called Change on bus shelters, which I think is a phenomenal and amazing thing, which is one of the reasons why I'm sort of a little bit disappointed. I didn't make the vernissage, the opening. However, it does mean that I will go see the show. And by the way, yeah, it is around Place Portugal, which is 4351 Saint-Laurent.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can tell us about that next week.
I can, and probably about another half dozen other things, because there is way too
Excellent.
Much art in this town that to keep me on one topic, my head's going to explode or something.
So community listings are going to come up in about 10 minutes. We can we'll go around the table here, myself, Margot, Chris, and we'll name some of those projects that are going on, some of those places that mm-hmm. people can go to this weekend.
Sounds cool.
For now, we are going to play a very quick radio commentary here by Glenn Ford, who is a favorite here at the Friday morning.